Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanshore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
All right, welcome to the doggies, Paw. I mean, pal. We had dogs here today. We Murphy was here, too. Come here, Murph. No, he's spooked now.
Murph's in the studio.
Scared by Pesto's.
Pesto's in the studio.
Welcome to the parties, pal. We're going to get rolling here and going down. You know what? Speaking of rolling, I literally just rolled in from Vegas.
I thought you were still in Vegas.
Yeah.
I didn't think you were coming back until after the auction. I know you rolled out there for a little bit of Barry Jackson. I hadn't planned on it.
Let's put it that way. But my mom takes a very specialized, special shot, every month. And, just logistics. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
We have to help make sure it gets done today. So, things weren't moving ahead. So I just jumped home last night, came home. I went over to Vegas for the only night party. Was there yesterday, and this all came up, and so I just said, okay, I'm just going to come home and make sure it happens. So, but I can tell you a little bit about what was going on while I was there, and I'll tell you, the very first thing was F1 Dreams, because Barrett Jackson, the auction's over at the convention center, but they had their opening night party on the roof of the Cromwell Hotel. Now, if you don't know Vegas, and if somebody said the Cromwell Hotel to me, I wouldn't know where it was either. I've heard of it, but it wouldn't come to me. But it's on the corner, kind of diagonally from Bellagio, across the street from Caesars, and next to the Flamingo. So if you look at the F1 course, this hotel, I'm standing up there at the Barrett Jackson party, and their party was rooftop, and I'm standing there on the edge of the roof looking over and thinking, what a great place to watch F1 from, because the F1 track's going to come up one street and turn right where they're at. So
yeah,
anybody who's there is going to have this fantastic view down the street, around the corner, and back the other way. It's probably going to be one of the best viewing points. And
wow.
Barrett Jackson had a great party there. It was perfect night, and it was, super nice around the pool and on the rooftop at the club, and it was really cool. Saw a lot of people. Saw Mike Spagnola from SEMA. Saw a lot of my normal friends. Saw Craig and Carolyn.
You're suggesting Spagnola is not normal?
No.
I saw Spagnola and
all my normal friends. I mean, my welcome acquaintances. But Steve Davis and, we had some nice conversations, some cocktails, some food. And then it was back over to the auction. And the auction, if you've ever been to Vegas, it is absolutely as different as it could be from Scottsdale. Because
right.
It's not as large, but it's in a convention center. And
which is a huge footprint, by the way. It's a huge footprint.
Yes.
Under roof. Like, it's for an enclosed space. The new West Hall at the Las Vegas Convention Center is massive.
Yes. Considering every single car, every single vendor, staging lanes, and the auction block are all in the same room.
Yeah, it's all under one.
It's huge. Oh, wow.
Massive.
I was happy to see that some of the cars going across the block had Bond Speed wheels. Yeah, and I've got to say, although I had to come home early, the first day prices were pretty solid. You know, we all know the cars get better as the days go on, but the cars were pretty solid prices. And that's, you know, because there weren't as many people there yet. Things were still kind of moving through, and we were seeing some solid prices. I was happy to see that. And their selection of cars ranged from everything from a Maserati Ghibli to a H1 Hummer that I was looking at this thing, and somebody had gone through and customized it, and they had to have spent $30,000 on grade 8 hardware, because they had replaced every panel and had all this detail hardware all over it. I'll send you guys a photo of it. It's just, it's nuts. And there were some really nice OBS and square body trucks that were 4x4. There were, I'm trying to think, there was an Aventador that looked really nice, really super low miles. If you're into Z06 Corvettes, one of the nicest ones I've seen, this is the last generation, 1,800 original miles, and it was a color combination I've never seen. It was a graphite color with a gray convertible top and a gray interior. Man, this car looked good. It really, really looked well. I took a bunch of photos. I'll drop a bunch of photos on Shift and Steer on Instagram, and go check them out, and you'll see all the cars I'm talking about. So, but no, it's getting going. And as we speak right here, day two is going to get going Friday and Saturday. And I think it'll be good. And unfortunately, I had to come home a little early, but that's what you have to do sometimes.
I'm curious to see how it's going to go. I mean, they're always successful events, and they have little slight up and downs over the years, but it seems like we've been kind of riding this wave of big prices on cars, and obviously not that sustainable. I think we're going to start seeing a little bit of tightening of the belt on people spending cars. Although there's a few things that keep popping up still at auction and at Bring a Trailer, where
I was like, just going to say, I've seen some crazy stuff on BAT lately.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure why people are spending this kind of money on stuff, but I don't know. I guess we'll see. I mean, the event and the enthusiasm of the live audience at these events certainly does a lot for those prices. It's not quite Scottsdale, like you said, but you know, we've gone to the Vegas event before. It's huge. It's fun. I think most recently, I didn't go last year, maybe it was the year before. And that was the first year back.
That's where you launched Bravago.
We did. We launched Bravago there, and it was the first year back, after COVID, or sort of COVID
post-pandemic.
2.0. Yeah. But it was also the first like huge event at the West Hall and the Convention Center.
Yeah.
I think it was
first,
the
very
public
first one
event
they ever had.
And they still pulled, I don't know, it was like 36,000 people over the course of
a couple good. Days. It was solid.
Yeah, so it should be interesting. And then, you know, Barrett Jackson this year is making a change. Of their four auction events, they're dropping the Texas event, but they're launching a New Orleans event.
Exactly.
In September. You know, I'm not too familiar with the car culture there in New Orleans. I didn't think it was a big.
It is. I sell a lot of wheels there, guys.
But yeah, it should be interesting.
We sell a large number of wheels. There's a huge, you know, presence of car lovers there. And you've got to remember, you're in that same area as, you know, very close to Atlanta. and huge car culture there. So
yeah,
I wouldn't have guessed it either as a you know, a destination for Barrett Jackson, but we'll see. And you know, the other big thing that I did see at Barrett was that, you know, now that Endeavor is part of Barrett Jackson, Endeavor Entertainment, we saw a huge presence that I think is only going to grow. They had a large, right in the center, huge footprint, which they called their experience area, and some of doing cross marketing of some of their other companies that they own, you know, the WWF and PBR Rodeo, and they were having stars UFC. Of those areas come in, do autograph signings, photographs. They had step and repeats, and they had a big hospitality area there. And I think we're only going to see that grow.
Yeah, I was curious to see how the integration was going to go. Endeavor, for those of you guys that don't know the entertainment side, but if you are fans of the TV show Entourage.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
Jeremy Piven's character, Ari, is based off of a real guy named Ari, a super agent that launched his own agency, and that is Endeavor. And on the talent agent side, now the Endeavor sort of entertainment side that Brad that is talking about is they've been buying up big event organizations, you know, companies like Barrett Jackson, that whole big live events. Now, they didn't buy all of Barrett Jackson. It was like 51%. Mm-hmm. So Craig Jackson, the team, still runs it. But they've since also bought UFC and WWE. And in something like a $10 billion deal, but they already owned half of UFC. So it was like a $9 or $10 billion deal for WWE and the rest of UFC. So they're not just buying events, they're buying major events. Now, for those of us in the car world, we've seen that recently with Hagerty, right? Hagerty got a private equity investor and they said, hey, how can we build a private equity? How can we build the Hagerty brand beyond insurance and car valuation tools? And they started buying up events. They bought Gordon McCall's Jet Center Party event, which they've renamed. I forgot what they renamed it to.
I know. I can't remember it either.
They have a Broad Arrow Auction Company, which is now at the Jet Center event in Monterey, mm-hmm. And other auctions, and that's going well. The MIDI, right? Was it the MIDI? What am I thinking of? The
Walter MIDI?
The Jacksonville myself. Car show. They
what was it down in Florida? They bought.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the event. Amelia.
Amelia.
Island.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Sorry. Yeah. They bought the Amelia Island event as well.
And they have another one up in the Midwest.
They named it the Amelia. Yeah. They've been buying quite a few. It's interesting.
And they've heard they're buying Autotopia at Disneyland. Is that just a rumor?
Actually, Monterey Car Week, I believe Monterey Car Week, the driver's lounge, that big building, which was always sponsored by Rolex, I think this past year was the Hagerty building.
Oh, out at the track?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. The one up on the hill.
Yeah.
So, which is the best place to watch that race, man.
Right.
So
it's just kind of interesting that Hagerty's been making some pretty big moves. Mm-hmm. And so far, successfully. So it wasn't just a private equity move where they were like, oh, let's just buy up and roll up and then see what happens. And then they start laying off a bunch of people and realize they've bought too many companies. Like, it's kind of this buying sprees that these PE companies do can get a little messy and hectic and leave some carnage. And then all of a sudden, all the car parts you've been buying for 40 years are now all made in China.
That's right.
Except for Bond Speed wheels, because Brad whittles him with his teeth like a beaver.
A metal beaver.
Emery board. But I don't do that anymore.
Charlotte locked up in the back with a polisher on the end of a drill, like the mother's polished ball. She has to do every one of those by hand.
That's right.
Turns out. All you see are her eyes.
Just her fingers are black. The shirt's black. Everything's just covered in polish.
My mom's not actually in the hospital. She's working.
That's it. That's why you brought her out there.
The other thing about Vegas was that, man, at this point right now, as we're recording the show, the infrastructure for the F1 event is going gangbusters. And not only is it going gangbusters, but it's fucking up Vegas. Cause I mean, every Uber driver, every guy I talk to is like, yeah, this damn F1, man. Cause there's so much construction because they are doing so much. They're having to take alternate routes, but where the old Hard Rock Hotel, which is now the Virgin, just up about maybe a quarter mile up from there towards the strip is where they're putting in the paddocks. And it was an empty lot that sat forever. It was a nightclub that opened and closed in, I think, 30 days.
Yeah.
And then it sat there forever, and it was fenced, and it was a huge piece of property. And it said, this property is available for development. And hopefully whoever owned that held on to it long enough, because finally somebody wanted it. And they're building this huge paddock area. And if you look on there, you can see a drone shot of it. And I drove past it in the Uber and took a couple photos. And it's, man, it is gigantic. It is huge and beautiful. And I walked in, told the guys that I was there to just check things out. I was with F1, and asked the supervisor for a copy set of keys, which I was able to get. And so we're set. We got a suite. We got keys to all of them.
This is an interesting build process, because it's a little bit like preparing for the Olympics when they build like an Olympic
city. That's exactly what I thought of. Yes.
And it's like, by the way, if you're 3 days late on opening, you've missed the race.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of a tough gig. Talk about it. It's funny how we see how slow the process is, especially for like local government to build things, right? It takes them a year to patch a hole in asphalt. But, but when you take the companies, the private organizations of Vegas, and the amount of potential money at stake, and how much the casinos have been making, the past since COVID basically ended, all of a sudden all the pieces come together pretty quick. When you can write a blank check, everybody moves pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And they're building basically an Olympic city there. And then now that they're going to have those new venues.
Yeah, they're permanent structures.
They're permanent structures.
Temporary. Yeah.
It's going to open the door to like pop-up nightclubs and huge events. And, part of like SEMA Fest and like what Bear Jackson's doing. And now they're talking about bringing a baseball stadium there. The Oakland A's wanted to move to Vegas, and they've been going back and forth on where they were going to put it. And the most recent news is knock down the Tropicana and build a baseball stadium.
Wow. Yeah.
But they've already had conversations with like the Flamingo and Circus. And I don't know that a deal was made. And now Tropicana seems to be next. They just want to make it walking distance. They've got Allegiant Stadium, which you can kind of get to, I guess, from MGM. I think there's a way to get across the freeway from MGM. I'm not exactly
sure. Not really.
Sure.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
so
the Tesla tunnels are growing, which is because they're building right now. Now you can take it over to the Conrad. You can take it down to what they call the Riviera Station. And now they're adding one, which will be open later this year, that goes to the Wynn. And they have another one that is going to be going, a little bit farther down. They want to eventually have it all up and down the strip. And, it's going fast.
Yeah. So at Bear Jackson 2 years ago, when we talked about, they were just opening, we got in the Tesla and just did like from like West Hall to North Hall. And then this past SEMA, I walked over to SEMA Ignited, which is in the parking lot now of the West Hall, basically. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was like, oh, and I just went down and got the Tesla to the Conrad, which is down the street, right? It saves you, about a mile walk or whatever. And then from there, we started walking. I was like, not bad.
No, it was cool. Like this time at Barrett, I was over at the Conrad, and you just go down, you go, you, now they do charge now. It used to be free. But it's $4.50 for a day pass. You can go back and forth as many times, go on any of them. But I just jumped in that, took it over to the convention center when I was done, got in it, and went back to the Conrad. It was
great. Especially summer events where it's 100 degrees outside.
Yes.
Like we parked in the West Hall parking lot, and even just the 10-minute walk, you're just like, I'm dying out here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you can go from a hotel like the Conrad into a Tesla and pop out right near the door of the West Hall, and it's a short walk into the building, it's like it feels a lot better to do that, especially if you're, you know, dressed for an event, you know, because even at night it's 90 degrees, and if you've got, you know, you got your fancy pants on and you're trying to go someplace,
you're fancy shorts,
yeah, you're dying, you're sweating the whole time.
And we had an awesome driver the last time I went before I left town, and I said, so what's the fastest you've ever gone through this tunnel on? And he goes, kind of like looks around like somebody's listening. And he goes, I went 70 once, but then I was reprimanded.
Yeah.
And I went, you went 70 in this little tunnel? And he goes, yeah, it was pretty cool. And I was like, geez, man, because they're not much wider than the car. You know, yeah,
it's not a very big tunnel.
Yeah.
And it's cool now because it's kind of a novelty and still people don't know about it. And the lines are still fairly short. Even after SEMA Ignited, I didn't wait in line very long.
That's because you got to know where the hole in the ground is.
Yeah, you do. But soon as this starts to pick up, it's going to get a little hectic. They're going to start to rethink the lines and how that's going to happen, because it is all outside. There's a line outside and then you go down or the car comes up and gets you, and then it goes out. Yeah.
But what they're doing right now, which I just found out and I didn't realize, right now it's one way. So there's like a red light and a green light. And so the cars, you know, like 10 cars go through going one way, then the other cars that are waiting go through the other way. They're building parallel tunnels so that it's constant flow. They're not
that would make sense.
Like a train track. You know how a train track? Oh, there's red light, so one waits. There's going to be constant flow. They'll just go circular. So that'll be pretty cool. So,
yeah. So
I still haven't been in one.
No?
I didn't do it at SEMA, yeah.
It's short because it's meant to be convenient. It feels like an amusement park ride, but that's not the point of it, right?
The wait's longer than the ride, right?
Right, but the point of it is to get to, you know, point A to point B quickly, you know, and efficiently. And it does work for that. Honestly, just going from like West Hall across street to North Hall, especially during an event like SEMA, if you can wait a few minutes for the car, it does get you over there pretty quick. Because once you're underground and there's no traffic and there's no people, it's like, I don't know, it's got to be a 2-minute ride.
Yeah, and if you have to go to the back of West Hall or excuse me, South Hall,
yeah,
that's a trek. I mean, that's a long ways. That really saves you.
Yeah, that's a half-hour walk. You get there in 2 or 3 minutes.
But that's cool. But the last thing I'll say about the F1 is that at the Barrett Jackson auction, they had a display of the skyboxes. And, oh, my gosh, you know, the Heineken skybox. And they're all branded, of course.
Yeah.
And they're like 3 tiers tall. And they're nightclubs. I mean, they have full bars and nightclubs in them.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be a cool venue when it's done.
And the Heineken one that they had there, they were selling. They still have tickets, guys. $10,000 a person and a 10% tax on top of that. And you're in. Now, that doesn't include your hotel or your transportation or your $50 a cocktail drinks. And craziness. So
it is kind of interesting because it seems like so much is being built for wealthy people.
You think?
And
there literally is no area, you know, like the Indy 500. If you don't have a lot of money, you go to the infield, right? And it's the party, and it's a, I don't see that anywhere. There's no like stand around area where you're going to see it, you know?
Because... Right. And then in the middle, they're building the Sphere, right? Which is the new concert venue as well. Cause I think like right when it's built and it starts in September, it's like U2 has a residency there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're kind of swinging for the fences, like right from the beginning.
Oh, so wait a minute. That's a concert venue. That is not. See, somebody told me that the F1 cars were going to do like the motorcycles used to and go
drive around.
Like,
that would be so
drive
awesome.
Around upside down and around. And...
that would be awesome if they made them do that as part of the lap. They go upside
down. On an old plank. On old plank board.
I mean, there's so much downforce on those cars at speed. Going upside down shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. It should be fine.
Supposedly they can do it.
Of course, the Hans device might prevent them from seeing where they're going, but, hey, speaking of events and big events, are you guys buying tickets yet for the big cage match in that sphere?
I heard about it.
And,
Elon Musk. By the way, just one last note. On the F1 Vegas website, in the grandstands right now, well, the least expensive ticket was $1,500. They're sold out, and now it's $2,000 for a grandstand ticket.
Yeah.
Like sitting in the grandstands with everybody else without a fancy bar or anything, like
or any kind of cooling.
Right. Now
it is November, so you got to remember that
you do get access to some food and water and soft drinks as part of the ticket. That's complimentary. Wolfgang Puck catering, water and soft drinks, but the booze is on you, big guy.
Yeah. It's man, the good old days of Vegas. I mean,
Matt,
you and I have talked about this. We've gone to some nightclubs at SEMA time and like that, and you know, $35 a drink or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, they're getting ready for F1 already because I went with two of my friends and we went to have a cocktail in the bar, not at the Aria, it wasn't at the Crystal Bar or anything like that, just a bar in the hotel. And she brings the bill. We each had one cocktail. And I'm looking at it and I go, this can't be right. They weren't premium drinks. And I call her over. I go, is this our bill? And she goes, yes, sir, it is. You had a this. And I go, they're $60 a cocktail?
Oh, my God.
And she goes, yes, $59.25. And I go,
oh my God,
a cocktail. And she goes, yes. And we were all just like going, what? I mean,
wow.
It was nuts. And then my two friends said that they were over at another hotel and he ordered a premium drink and the bill came and it was $100. But he got to keep the glass.
What if I bring my own glass from home?
I mean, come on, man. You know, that's crazy nutso. So,
yeah.
And they're going to jack it up even more for F1 people. You know,
that's just wrong.
You
know, another reason why I don't drink.
Well, it's a reason I went to the other side of town and bought a flask. And,
yeah,
you know, just bring a glass of ice for me. And they said, all right, $25, sir.
So, yeah.
Look, you can walk around Vegas with all the booze you want. So when I drive out, I bring a case of Bravago with me. And
There you go.
Yeah.
Matt's got this hat, everyone. And it's got a Bravago on either side with the straws coming down. Yeah. And
then
he wears a big T-shirt that lights up and it says drink Bravago. And he walks up and down the strip.
It's like the construction worker helmet, but it's got Bravagos on the sides.
Yeah,
exactly.
As an option, you can wear the one around your neck.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that one.
There's the wine bottle.
Just got a big straw.
Yeah, it's got a big straw on it. So
okay, so this is something that I saw the other day. I was sitting at home one night and I went on Crackle TV.
Yeah.
And I was just like poking around looking at, you know, old TV shows and stuff. And something caught my eye. And it was the most obscure TV show. I'd never even knew it existed. But remember David Cassidy from the Partridge Family?
Yeah.
Well, I guess he had a one season TV show called David Cassidy, Man Undercover. And the premiere episode it was the description that caught my eye. It said, he goes undercover to catch illegal street racers who are also burglars or, you know, or robbers or whatever it was, but they race Mulholland. And I was like, okay, you got me now. 1978, 79, race Mulholland. And I've got to say, if you've got Hulu and you've got Crackle, go watch it. Horrible show, but some of the best cars. We are talking like RSR Porsches, twin, wow. Or not twin, turbo, you know, like 930s. There was a beautiful 70 Trans Am, bone stock. I mean, all kinds of great stuff. And then what's he pull up in? Like a 78 Corvette, you know? I mean, but all these characters. But the worst thing about the show was the nemesis in the show at the very end. Yeah, I'm going to ruin it because there's no storyline anyway. But he has this Jaguar that he's had. He's been working on forever, and he's going to go race and try and be the king of the hill. And they've got this bright red V12 Jaguar. And it's beautiful. And I'm like, going, oh, look at that car. Look at, oh, man, that thing's so nice. They wreck it at the end. And I thought to myself, oh, that's not the real one. Oh, no. When it's coming off the cliff, the front end nose comes off of it. And you see the 12-cylinder. Oh, and you just go, oh, XJS, no. What are you doing? Man. You know?
XJ12, I guess, right? The, was it the XJS or the XJ12 were the 12-cylinders?
I don't know the numbers. Too, right? But you maybe see the long motor in there and you just go,
oh man,
what are you doing? You know, but it is worth a watch.
Big budget.
Because all the great yeah. cars, and there's some good Mulholland through the curves, you know, back in the days before it was all houses and wow. And the cars are just, the Porsches are really cool, really wow. neat stuff. But now you know what I do on my off time.
Yeah, sorry guys, I've got a really active dog. He's not only snoring and grunting, but he just cannot find a spot.
Does that mean you, is that a euphemism for you ate something in your stomach? You call it your dog?
No. This is literally my dog. So if you hear all these weird noises. So
what else is going on, guys?
Nothing. No, absolutely nothing. Nothing going on.
Good.
You know, no gas still. You know, no deliveries. Nothing's going on. Nothing's come in. You know, a couple weeks left. Nothing's going on.
Cool. Good. No big deal then.
No, I have Roy from Vision X flying in today from Washington. We're going to do the install. Lots of lights on the Defender. Got wheels coming from Nomad today. Got all my decals and stuff coming from all the companies for the expos. Yeah,
when do you leave?
We leave on the 5th
of July.
Yeah. We do expo and then we're gone, and back in September. So I've got a lot of work to do. I'm so happy and thankful about the museum, but, it did put me a few weeks behind, which I was already a few weeks behind. So
have you talked to your dad in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I've just been touching base every
did
couple
you mention of days. That we saw each other,
uh-uh.
Got to get together.
No.
He
I hear pesto, by the way.
He said to me, he said,
I hear him grunted.
He goes, yeah, he goes, my son who's retired before I am, he goes, he's going for 2 months on an expedition. He goes, I wish I could do that kind of stuff. And I said, I know, I can't do it either. You know, he goes, yeah, Aaron's retired before we are. And
oh my God.
But yeah, we had a good chat. We were, it was him and Jason retired. Bonham, and then. I'm gonna say something. This is my brag moment about your dad. Okay, we were standing there, and he goes, "Oh, wait, come here, let me take a photo." And he took a photo of us together as we were talking about his LaFerrari and stuff. And and he takes it, and he goes, "I'm texting it to Craig." And I go, "What are you saying?" And he goes, "To Craig Jackson." And he goes, "I'm saying, look who I'm with." And I said, "Oh, cool." Sammy's sending a text to somebody else saying, look who I'm with.
So
then when I was with Craig at his party, I did one back to your dad and I said, look who I'm with.
Yeah, well, you know, some of us don't take those pictures and don't say, look who I'm with. I'm that guy. I was with Craig a couple weeks ago and didn't take any pictures, didn't send any out saying, look who I'm with. That's
well, it's just funny. Your dad mid-sentence goes, I know. Oh, wait. I know. And I'm like, where are you sending that? You know? But
I'm surprised he didn't send one to me. We brought the Woody Wagon in. So we've been discussing doing a little exhibit and something maybe more permanent with the Woody in there. And yeah, but no, I would love to say I'm retired. I don't know, but I've spent enough money that I really, really have to go back to work next year. I'm like real hard. Like I ain't going anywhere. I ain't doing nothing. It's been quite an exercise of really it's that. Okay. Well, we have to do it. I just had to drop $7,000 to have my gas line moved to the other side of the house because the gas company decided they wanted to put it in a different place. So that's on me. And I'm telling you, man, I still don't have heat, hot water or a gas.
Are you kidding me? You still don't have?
Still. Everything's in. We're waiting for the inspector. And as soon as he comes, I have to contact the gas company and then they'll do the final install, the meter and hook everything up. But who knows how long that could be.
The inspector called me. He said he can come by on the 7th.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I think it's going on 3 months now. So
that's kind of ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, it is. But I'll tell you, all the stuff we're taking on the trip, you know, for shower and cooking and heat, it's all working great in the house. And we got it down. We got that 1 minute, 1 gallon shower down, man. It's like, okay, an extra 8 ounce cup and I can do my hair. Hey, let's go. Seriously. I mean, it's like we got the temperatures down, the ratios down. I've got my little Goal Zero battery system down. It takes 1% to do a shower. 1%, 1 gallon. 8 minutes done. It's awesome. Yeah, it's
you've been taking a shower in 8 minutes. Takes me like 20, man.
No, 8 minutes and 1 gallon, Brad. 1 gallon. Yeah, and I am squeaky clean. Nope, nobody steps back and goes, yeah, we're social distancing again.
Oh, you're an overlander. Yeah, I see who you are.
Oh, yeah. I see you're camping right now. Yeah, isn't there usually the smell of a bonfire in relation
right.
to
I have that musk, none of the smell. Barbecue smell, none of that barbecue.
No, that's why we call propane. Aaron Little Smoky.
Yeah, you don't smell the propane.
Have you been driving anything, Matt?
I have been. I was just driving the Volvo S60.
Oh, those are cool.
All-wheel drive recharge, something like that. It's the Volvo sedan with the 2 liter four cylinder, but with an electric motor, and it's a plug-in hybrid. But also, it can charge the battery while you're driving it if you don't want to. Don't want to plug it in.
Way to go, hybrids!
It's kind of a cool hybrid setup. But one of the things I was talking about on CarCast, where Goldberg and I talked about it, was I just think people don't give Volvo enough attention. It's a sharp looking car. The design,
they've done really well with their design. Yes.
That car was really nice, very comfortable and fast. So the S60 Recharge is not entirely new, but they've upgraded it. I don't have the specs in front of me, but the battery went from like a 9 kilowatt to like a 14 kilowatt. And the electric motor went from like 87 horsepower to 147 horsepower. So the combined horsepower in this car is like 450 and it scoots around at 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a little different than my Ford Lightning, which is all EV, right? Cause that battery is large enough. I can get away with charging it once a week, where even a small commute back and forth to home, you know, it's got about 40 miles of pure EV range. I'm driving this Lexus that I just picked up a couple of days ago. So we'll get into the specs on it maybe next week. you know, it's a little SUV, similar to the Volvo, plug-in hybrids, got like 30 miles of range. But yeah, you find yourself, you're plugging it in like every 2 days, right? It's one of these things you're supposed to plug in almost every night, which is a little weird, I guess. I guess you have to kind of get used to that new task in your life. But both, you know, the Volvo, I think, was fantastic. It's fast. It looks good. I drove this black edition. So it was like a pearl white with blacked out wheels, blacked out trim. You know, the infotainment system isn't bad. It's just a little long in the tooth. It seems like some of the screens and stuff that they put in there can be a little better. I just remember driving one, it seemed like 4 or 5 years ago, and was the same exact thing. So it probably used a few upgrades, but that car was comfortable. That car was quick. It was a nice, you know, sedan. It's sharp looking. It got looks on the road. I still feel like people look at them like, what is that? And
yeah,
you know, cause they don't really think Volvo right away.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think already more people may think it's a Genesis than it is a Volvo, because Genesis is getting so much press that you see a new car and you go, oh, it must be one of those new Genesis. But you realize, no, it's a Volvo and it's a sharp looking car. So, yeah, that was cool. We'll get more into the Lexus, I think, maybe next week. I think this is the NX, the plug-in hybrid. And they got a few more things coming up in the next month or so. Plus a trip to Vegas for the off-rodeo to drive the Bronco Raptor. We've driven one here and we've reviewed it, but not off-road. And I'm doing like a day event on their off-road school. And then I believe I come
back. Are they going to put you in the bucking Bronco?
I believe they all are, because it is literally the Bronco Raptor and it's off-road. So, and then I come back and I get to drive the new Mustang, the 2024 Mustang. So yeah, we've got a lot in the next month.
Well, good. You'll have lots to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you some guys.
And Aaron's because I tell us about off-roading too. Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to send in little video segments to you, because I'll be very remote. I don't know that I'll have any reception until we stop somewhere for the day. It's going to be interesting.
I expect them to come in. I want to hear audio that's like, yes, we're back on the back road, and
oh my god, a grizzly!
Yeah, a lot of crackle, a lot of
sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Chasing me. Hold on, I'm out of breath. Yeah. By the way, back to Dad's comment. Yes, that does bother me. I've never worked so hard in my life, man. This is so much work.
Because you're taking such a long time off. Come on.
I know, but it's not off. This is part of my job. It's part of my lifestyle. It's part of my partnerships. You know, this is a job.
Hey, let's put it in perspective.
Now you have to go. It's an obligation. You've got to.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's put it in perspective.
I'd rather spend money doing some other stuff, I'll tell you.
Let's put it in perspective. How many times has your dad or other rock stars been told over the years that, God, you got the life, man. All you
do right?
Yeah. Go from hotel to
your job
hotel,
is so easy.
Blah, blah, blah.
You make $300,000 on stage and play.
What's that?
Work.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. That puts it, you know, it's just
I know, but Dad's sense of humor sometimes.
He did just not say it with any malice.
I know, but it's still the words do get to me sometimes. No, I know.
I think he's
Dad
jealous.
And I are good. I wish Dad could join me for any leg of what I do in life, because I know I do it partially because of him and my childhood and what we did as a family. And I mean, come on, we watched the sunrise sitting on top of a pyramid in Egypt when I was a kid. I mean, we did some spectacular things. And yeah, I still have that hunger. I still have that yearning. I still have that sense of adventure because of those things. And probably mostly that trip to Africa was really impactful on my life. I mean, I'm still driving a Defender, a Land Rover.
Right.
So yeah. And still wearing tan and khaki. So yeah, I would
say Aaron,
that
if you have that
burning,
you should see a urologist.
But no, it's good. So thank you, Pop. And it's all good. I wish he could join me for any or all of this. That would be that if I had one dream in life, it would be to do more things with Dad like that. Go to the racetrack, go on some adventure that's not paid for by American Express, you know, yeah. and a porter shows up, you know, it's like, I would, you know, yeah, it'll never happen, but you know,
one of the disadvantages of that yeah. situation, because yeah. for one yeah. thing, we've had this conversation before that, you know, you take like Michael Anthony, he can go places and not always be, you know, like, you know, have people gravitate towards him. They yeah. might stand back and go, that looks like the guy, you know, but, and where Eddie, your dad and other people, they yeah. have that and they can't escape it, yeah. you know, which is good and bad.
So Matt, and on that note, Matt and I had a conversation about the difference between being famous and being very well known. So Matt, the museum now says Aaron Hagar, who is not, he says, not famous, but very well known. Use it in every single ad and every single advertisement. I love it. It's become the thing. I find it so funny. And I often have to explain it in interviews. And it's great. I go, you know, Brad Pitt walks anywhere in the world and people know it's Brad Pitt. I said, I walk around anywhere in the world and I'm just a guy, except if it's this or that, because I'm more well known in those circles. And people go, oh, okay, I totally get it. I'm like, yeah,
yeah.
there's a very clear distinction.
There is a clear distinction. We did have a chat about that.
It's like a serious conversation, but on my side, it's a very funny joke.
Yeah. So,
I love it. So Matt,
it also, I don't know why, but it also corresponds with where the decimal point is.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
It kind of does. Yeah. It kind of does. But there's also yeah. many very, very wealthy people that aren't well known or famous.
Yes.
Well, right. Yeah. You know, but you just said it. But they're not well known or famous, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But generally. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think your clout, where that decimal point is located. Right. I think that has to do with your clout, your status. Anyway, it's really fun to play with words.
Wordsmithing. So, all right, guys. Well, we're wrapping it up. It's a Friday. Any good plans for the weekend? I know what Aaron's doing. He's yeah. going to hope for a gas line and install some more stuff on his truck.
It'll be a shocking weekend. Full of light and pointy, sharp little wires. Yeah. And maybe some blood blisters.
For me, I've just been trying to bounce around to a few of the car projects that I have and do a few things and start to figure out what it's going to take to start, you know, getting some of these things wrapped up. What I found was money. That was the thing. That's usually
that always, I yeah. know. See, it goes back to that decimal point. If we were more well known, we could have a better decimal point and get more projects.
Yeah. So I'm looking at all of that, but there is a few things. Brad, you and I were texting on the red 93 Cobra. I was,
yes.
It's got the hidden valve stems. And when we did the car, we did like the flush valve stem because it was great for SEMA and you don't see it, but a little tough to fill up with air. So
yes,
I've been experimenting with some valve stems and I've got one that is working, that is short enough to make it work. But one of the upgrades I was going to be doing on the car is a Dakota Digital Dash, and it does work with TPMS sensors, which you didn't mm-hmm. really have before. And I don't have to have that feature, but because that feature is available, it'd be nice to have. I'm trying to find
a short, stubby
TPMS Schrader valve sensor, just the valve stem for the sensor. And I may have found one.
Really?
And it's like
that's
right.
Okay.
It's just a hair under an inch. Now it's just the valve stem and it goes to any Schrader sensor. And Dakota Digital has the sensors. So if I can, I'm going to test fit it. If it fits, great, I'll use it. If it doesn't, then I have to go with no TPMS sensor. And we do have a solution where it just clears the brake caliper on the inside. So
you only need a hundredth of a square inch. I mean, a hundredth of an inch.
That's really where I'm at. So I'm pretty close to it. Now, what I was asking you and I is the valve stems that we're using now are the bolt-in ones. You know, so it's a metal one and it's got the gasket and you bolt it down. And the TPMS sensor one is a push-in. It's a snap-in all rubber one, which they work fine, right? Because they've got a little flex to them. They work fine. But it's... We maybe just be talking like such a small fraction of an inch if it's going to work or not. So we'll see.
That car's a fixed rear axle, right?
So tricky.
Yes.
Okay. Because I think I might have mentioned once before my old 348 Ferrari, the had rubber valve stems on the inside.
Yeah.
The independent rear. Drove it through the canyon out to Riverside. And as I came down the hill, it was acting a little funny, and I get out and both rear tires are almost completely flat. And I'm like, what the hell would I run over, you know? And I pull into a gas station, put air in the tires. I go to where I was going and I go, they're holding air. That is the weirdest thing. So I drive back through the canyon, back to this side of Orange County, and I coming out. My tires are flat again. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It was so close that every time the car leaned through a corner, it was flicking the valve stem. And with each flick of the rubber valve stem, it was going, shh, shh. And it took me a while to figure it out. I got it.
Wow.
It was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So had to put shorter ones on.
I wouldn't have thought of that then, but I would now because of how I'm measuring in the valve stems. And yeah, like when the first time I put it on and we were rushing for SEMA, I moved the car forward and I hear flick, 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 flick. And the valve stems are hitting the caliper. But all I hear now is Pesto sitting on your lap grunting.
I know.
Like a pig. It's like a little piglet. He's just snoring.
He is out cold finally.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'll let you know if it works with the TPMS. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But at least I have a short enough valve stem that I can get it to work.
Cool. Well, that's the main thing. So. Yeah,
and then we'll figure out if the TPMS works or not.
All right, guys. Matt, where can they find us online?
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com and ShiftSteer Media on social media.
And remember, at ShiftSteer Media, we're going to drop a bunch of those Barrett Jackson photos. So go there and check that out.
Aaron, sorry, so loud.
It's so loud.
You can find me everywhere at Aaron Hagar. All over the internet and at Expo in Alaska. And yeah, it's going to be a fun next couple months. Lots of interesting stuff going on.
And download the Pesto ringtone.
Let your friends try to guess what it is.
Hey, everybody. Find me at Bradley_Fanshaw. And of course, bondspeedwheels.com. So let's go out and have a good weekend. And you know what? We'll be back next week. And that's a promise, not a threat.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.